Hey, if you like this one, share it, because YouTube probably won't promote it because it's going to be spicy. Hey, welcome to another episode of Bible Tidbits powered by LifeWord. Today we're continuing a six-part mini-series that will look at the six groups formed between the Old and the New Testaments, five of which are mentioned in the Gospels and in Acts. They are Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, Zealots, Sicarii, and Essenes. Today, we're covering the Sicarii. So, the Sicarii are mentioned in the New Testament, but I'll be very, very, very impressed if you know where. I'll go even further. If you know where the Sicarii are mentioned, you aren't just a Bible scholar, you are an elite Bible scholar. Ready for the big reveal? Acts 21:38. Paul's being interrogated by a Roman official after riots break out in Jerusalem, and he is asked if he is a Sicarii leader. He says, "Aren't you the Egyptian who led a rebellion some time ago and took 4,000 members of the assassins out into the desert?" Now, where's Sicarii in this verse? Well, the New Living Translation translates Sicarii as assassins. Other translations call them murderers or terrorists. Now, I told you this video was going to get spicy, and there we go. I'm saying the word terrorists and assassins. So, why don't English translations use the word Sicarii? Well, it was a judgment call that the translators made to make understanding this verse easier. They figure modern English readers know what assassins and terrorists are, so instead of unpacking Sicarii, they just go with the word that everyone knows. Sicarii is Latin for the Greek word Sicarios, meaning dagger man. Josephus, the famous first century Jewish historian, describes them as men who hid small daggers in their clothing, disguised themselves by blending into crowds, and using stealth to assassinate high-ranking government leaders and Roman sympathizers. If you're a gamer, just think of Assassin's Creed. That's exactly who these guys were. The Sicarii are the earliest known organized group of assassins, predating the Islamic Hashishin, who Assassin's Creed is actually based on, and the Japanese ninja. To this day, the Spanish derivative word Sicario is used in Latin America to describe hitmen who work for drug cartels. YouTube is definitely not going to promote this video.
No soup for you!
In his writings, Josephus differentiates between the Sicarii and the Zealots. Until the revolt in 66 AD, the Zealots were demonstrators against the Roman government. The Sicarii, however, they were violent from the very beginning. And to go even further, they were so inclined to violence that they would not hesitate to harm or kill their own countrymen if they thought it would further their ultimate goal of Jewish independence. This would ultimately be their undoing. Now, to help you compare all of these groups and how they thought, I made this chart. It looks like the political compass, but don't think of it as the same, as the axes are different. The left axis is how politically active they were, and the bottom axis is how much they favored Jewish or Greek culture. As you can see, the Sicarii were off the chart politically active and very pro-Jewish culture. No surprises there. In last week's video on the Zealots, we talked about the great Jewish revolt that started in 66 AD and the siege of Jerusalem that destroyed the city and the temple in 70 AD. For the full context of what we're about to talk about in the next few minutes, I would go and watch that video and then come back right here. In 66 AD, when the tension between the Jewish people and the Roman government reached a boiling point in Jerusalem, the Zealots took up arms and they expelled Roman government leaders and the Roman military from the city. Now, this was the moment that the Sicarii had been dreaming of for a long, long time. But remember how I said that they were not afraid to kill their own countrymen and that would be their undoing? You're about to see why. In the early part of the war, they raided villages near Jerusalem for supplies, killing 700 women and children. Inside the walls of Jerusalem, the Sicarii destroyed the city's food supply to hasten the inevitable war between the citizens inside the walls and the Roman armies outside the walls. This caused a civil war to break out inside of Jerusalem between the radical Sicarii, the more pragmatic Zealots, and the everyday citizens that were simply caught in the middle. When the Romans breached the walls of the city in 70 AD and slaughtered the residents of Jerusalem, do you know that there was one group of people that escaped? That's right. It was the Sicarii who brought so much trouble on the city in the first place. Using stealth, a group of about 1,000 Sicarii escaped Jerusalem as it was falling and retreated to a cliffside fortress they had secured a few years prior called Masada. In an effort to stamp out all remaining Jewish resistance, the Romans laid siege to Masada in 73 AD with a force of 9,000 soldiers. As the Roman soldiers gained access to the fortress, the Sicarii set the compound's buildings on fire and committed mass suicide. Out of the nearly 1,000 people in the compound, only 2 women and 5 children survived. Today, though the word Sicarii is unfamiliar, the legacy of their last battle at Masada is legendary. Carrying the same significance as the Alamo for Texas, Masada is one of Israel's top tourist attractions, the place where today's Israeli Armored Corps are sworn in with the words, "Masada shall not fall again," and is remembered by Jewish American lightweight boxer Cletus Sullivan on his jacket stating, "Remember the Masada." What's something that you learned in today's video about the Sicarii? Let me know in the comments below. It really helps me learn how to make better content in the future, and the engagement lets YouTube know that this is a video worth promoting. And this video, let's just be real, it's gonna need all the help it can get because I said so many no-no words that the YouTube algorithm does not like assassin and terrorist and all kinds of stuff. So, will you help me out with a share? It would really, really help. Now, to end each of the videos in this mini series, I want to give some brief application to our lives based on what we learned about each group. Now, some of these will be easier than others. Today, I want to talk about thinking beyond the target. Thinking beyond the target is a principle in shooting that reminds those using firearms to be aware of what's beyond your target. Bullets can travel through your intended target, whether that's a paper target in a practice situation or a person in a defense situation. So shooters must take that into account. The same principle applies to our lives. Before we take an action, we really need to consider the consequences that will come along with that action, and not just primary consequences, but secondary consequences as well. The Sicarii, they wanted Jewish independence from Rome. Their actions, political assassination, sabotage, and other forms of violence, they were intended to gain that independence. And they did, but just for a short while. Then, the Jewish people were crushed, Jerusalem destroyed, the temple was torn apart brick by brick, and their group committed mass suicide, and the Roman government, to make an example of them, formally annexed Judea into the Roman Empire, taking it from a semi-independent client state to a full Roman province. In making Judea a full province and to further humiliate the conquered Jewish people, Rome renamed Judea after Israel's ancient enemies, the Philistines. What's that name? Palestina. Even after Israel was reestablished in 1948 in the wake of World War II, this name and designation would cause trouble and division for all of its inhabitants, all because of a band of assassins 2,000 years ago. Our actions have consequences and collateral damage, but they also have effects that reverberate much, much longer than the original action. Yelling at your child in front of others will hurt their feelings and probably embarrass them, but there's a high likelihood that it will become standard operating procedure for your child, and therefore that action will be repeated in the generations that follow you. Drunk driving has serious consequences. I know we all know this, but beyond the loss of a family member killed by a drunk driver, havoc is created in all who knew them, and the ripple effect can change the lives of generations to come. Bottom line, think beyond the target. Before you do anything, think about all it will cost today, tomorrow, and even the generations to come in the future. Hey, I hope you learned something in this video. If you did, would you please consider sharing it? And be sure to subscribe so that you can catch the next Bible Tidbits video when it drops on Thursday. Before we go, I want to remind you that LifeWord has a huge catalog of Christian programming that will keep you encouraged and strengthen your faith. Look, times are uncertain, so if you want to listen and watch content that is biblically sound, head over to lifeword.org. They've got that kind of content for days. We'll see you next time. Grace and peace.